happy Saturday. Thank you for joining us today on 103.9 LI News Radio. For Financially Fit, where you will learn to build your money muscles by making small changes to get you in better financial shape. I'm Dina Isola, joined by my husband, business partner, and certified financial planner, Tony Isola. Hello, Tony.
Hi. How are you?
Good. And we're looking forward to sharing insights from our fee-only fiduciary registered investment advisor firm, ATI Investment Consulting, located in Stony Brook. Our mission is to educate and empower you so that you can not only get stronger financially and make better decisions, but also never get taken advantage of again. And unfortunately, we see that all too often. Important to note, this show is for you. We really want to hear what questions and concerns you have. So please call us at 631-675-1420 and let us know how we can help you best, or email us, Dina, D-I-N-A, at ATIinvestment.com. Last week, we started a discussion about focusing on things that you can control in investing and how that really can dramatically impact your investment experience. There's still so much ground for us to cover, so we wanted to continue that train of thought today. We want you to, this week, focus on your advice and where you're getting it from and the sources of this advice and whether or not it's a good thing where you're getting it from. Is it in your best interest? Also, is it a good strategy to ever do nothing? And is keeping up with your neighbors ruining your life? The answers to these questions are coming up later in the show. Okay, now it's time to get to work. We call this the heavy lifting portion of the show because you might have to push.
Push it out.
You're the ticky tock. You're the ticky tock. You're the ticky tock.
Yeah, and I think today, again, expanding on the theme of doing what you can control rather than worrying about things that you have no control over, probably the most important question you need to ask yourself is, who is giving you financial advice? And it's been noted that most people kind of assume that everyone is held to the same standards, and that is completely not true. For instance, someone that would be considered a stockbroker, a financial salesperson, they're held to something which is called the suitability standard. And in plain English, what that means is the way they give you advice might not be the best advice, but it's suitable. It's good enough. And I don't know, but the way I look at things is I don't want things to be good enough. I want things to be the best possible situation for myself in anything I do. Others are held to a higher standard, and they are what you call a fiduciary, which means they have to act at all times in your best interests. And if there are any conflicts, if they are getting compensated in any other way, they have to fully disclose this information or else they could face, you know, disciplinary action. Someone like that would be a registered investment advisor or an RIA. They are held to this standard, while, say, your stockbroker or insurance person is not. And there's a big difference. And unfortunately, most people don't know this.
I think you do a really good job of giving people an analogy when it comes to medical treatment, for example, to really illustrate the difference between suitability and fiduciary. You want to share that?
Yeah. Basically, you know, you can go to a doctor and maybe that drug company took the doctor out to dinner and provided him with free tickets to a concert or something, and he gives you a prescription to that drug. Now, that drug may end up helping you, but it may have several side effects, and there could have possibly been another drug which would have done the same thing without those added side effects. And due to the fact that the doctor was conflicted by, you know, the charms of the drug company and whatever type of compensation they offered him, he prescribed it to you. Now, if the doctor functioned under what they call the suitability rule, that would be perfectly legal. Okay, but that's not how we hope, anyway. That's not how things go on in the medical field. But unfortunately, in the investment field, that's not true. And people give you advice and they are making money from that advice and a lot more than they really need to be making, and they're not disclosing it to you that you could get that same advice and actually achieve your goals in a much more efficient and less costly manner. But they're not going to disclose that to you, obviously, because they would lose your business.
Now, we're all about transparency, and in the interest of being open and full disclosure, our investment firm, ATI Investment Consulting is a fiduciary. And we did not decide to set our business up this way kind of willy-nilly. We actually crafted this model because we felt it was in the best interest of those that we wanted to serve. It's how we would want to be treated. If we didn't do this for a living, we would want to be working with a professional like that. So I just want to throw that out there, that that's obviously the way we do business, and that is our bias.
Yeah. And everybody has conflicts. You just have to manage them, and they shouldn't be severe. I mean, but when I look at the model of most financial firms, financial services firms, it's quite disturbing. Many of these people have quotas. So each month they need to achieve a certain amount of revenue, and it could affect their employment. Now imagine it's the end of the month and they need to, you know, meet their sales quota, and you happen to walk in the door. Guess what? They're most likely going to pitch you the most expensive product there is out there that's going to make them the highest commission, because they have to. That's part of their job. It's built into their business model. And I'm not saying these people are bad people. I'm saying the business model is bad.
If you're working with a financial professional whose firm happens to offer financial product, you will probably notice that there's a decent amount of mutual funds in your portfolio that are affiliated with that firm. And there's a reason for that. Those brokers are compensated higher to recommend the firm's product, because now the firm is getting money from not only managing the assets and the commission, so they pass it along to the broker, and they offer incentives and competition. So again, it's just a way for you to be aware of how you need to look out for your best interests, because the person you're working with might not be that person. And if they're not, you have to really ask yourself why you'd want to work with them.
Right. And, you know, just to go back to that model, what we talked about, where these firms will sell you their own funds. Recently, J.P. Morgan just settled a big case that the government brought against them because, you know, people looked at the accounts of many of their clients and they all held J.P. Morgan funds when there were other funds available that, quite frankly, would have been a better fit. And again, like these firms usually do, they don't admit things. They just pay their fine as the cost of doing business, I guess, and they move on. But that doesn't mean you have to partake in this. And another common thing, which the SEC recently, you know, cracked down more upon, and the SEC, Security Exchange Commission, which regulates these types of this industry, many times financial service firms will offer dinners, you know, and come and get a free dinner and learn something about your finances. And like I always say, this could end up being the most expensive dinner you could ever imagine, because what ends up happening is at the end of the dinner, there's some sort of usually high pressure, you know, pitch to you to now sign up to invest in whatever product of the month that they need to sell. And unfortunately, they kind of know a lot about psychology, these firms, and they have their marketing departments, and you tend to kind of feel guilty now because, oh, you know, I just had this free dinner, so I kind of owe these people stuff. You know, you don't owe them anything. And to be quite honest with you, your best bet would be not to attend any of these free dinners. There are much better ways to get your information. There's nothing free, especially in the financial services world.
You might wonder if people can work with a fiduciary, why they would choose not to. And really, it's because most people are grossly unaware that this other alternative exists. And part of that has to do with the fact that a lot of the money in the industry is in these sales-based models. It is a far more profitable way to do this business, quite frankly. So we're in the minority, having a registered investment advisor. For Met is fee only. Some advisors can actually collect some commissions. We elect not to, but you absolutely need to be clear on, you know, where the bias is coming from when someone is making a recommendation to you. Is it truly in your best interest, whatever advice they're giving you?
Yeah, and you have to understand too, you know, companies like Bank of America or JP Morgan, so on, you know, their first responsibility is to their shareholders and paying their dividends and showing, you know, adequate profits each quarter. And that money is coming from their clients. And a simple way to think of it, I make, you know, this is an exact comparison, but a fee-only RIA firm is more like a credit union in some ways compared to the big bank. Whereas you go to the credit union and the service you get is much different than you're getting from the big banks because the compensation model is also much different. So that's kind of in a simple way to understand it.
Don't forget to call us or email us with any questions or show topics. We really want to hear from you. 631-675-1420 or Dina at ATIinvestment.com. Like us on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. And by all means, visit our website, ATIinvestment.com. Money for nothing and your checks for free. Fit on 103.9 LI News Radio. Tony and I were just getting ready to help you cut the fat.
Better not do your belt, you might cause a flavor lash.
Today's exercise is one you're going to love. You may actually get away with doing absolutely nothing, and that might give you the best results of all.
Yeah, actually, I came across a very interesting article the other day, and it was put out by a large investment firm, Fidelity Investments. And they basically were tracking the returns of their different clients. It turns out the highest returns were achieved by the clients who actually forgot they had investment accounts at Fidelity. And then a decade or so later, they rediscovered them. And lo and behold, they did very, very well and did much better than many other people who were actively trading and worrying about the news and doing all kinds of crazy things that many people often do with their investments.
Too much tinkering.
Much too much. And that's just a big, big thing for investors to understand is friction. You know, and if you know anything about science and physics and all that stuff, friction tends to slow things down, right? When you have friction, it'll slow down the movement of whatever is moving. And the same thing with your investments. The more friction you create, the lower your returns. And an example of investment friction would be taxes, which you would pay many times on short-term gains if you're trading a lot. Also, fund expenses. If you're constantly shifting from, oh, you know, this month I need to buy healthcare and next month I need to buy energy and the next month I need to buy technology, you're constantly shifting in and out of investments, paying more in costs. And especially if you're buying things which have what they call a front end load, class A, class B, class C shares. Every time you buy those shares, you pay a commission, which could approach 5 or 6%. So I think the lesson learned here is in investing, many times doing nothing is the best thing to do. It's kind of like a pilot. And, you know, 99% of the time, the pilot, things are going well. But that 1% is when you need that good advice, like you need a good pilot to get you out of a jam. So think of that long plane trip and hopefully nothing will happen and things will be smooth. And occasionally you've got to do something because something might happen that's quite severe. But for the most part, you know, that pilot just keeps that plane on course and he's sitting there just kind of observing. And that's better advice for you than just thinking about what's the next thing you have to do with your investment, because basically the next thing you have to do with your investment is do nothing.
Now, to tie this back into what we were discussing in the first half of the show, if your advisor is being compensated based on commissions and based on transactions, you could see where this could really get you into trouble, where they would almost be encouraging this friction, because every time you buy and every time you sell, they would be getting paid. So it's not necessarily in their best interest to keep you from doing silly things. I mean, sometimes clients call the advisor and say, hey, buy this, sell this. It's, you know, the advisor's job really to be the voice of reason here. And if they're not the voice of reason or they're encouraging you to transact frequently, you really have to ask yourself, is there something in it for them? Because they should be the gatekeeper for you.
Yep, that's very true. And that's probably the biggest conflict out there, because doing nothing basically doesn't generate commissions. So obviously, you know, calling you and giving you these tips and buying and selling and trying to get out of the market before it goes down and then trying to get back in and all the crazy things that many people are encouraged to do, it's not really crazy to the firm itself. It actually makes the most sense in many ways because it will generate the most activity by keeping people in that kind of state of mind that they constantly have to act on their investments rather than just sitting back and letting a properly diversified low-cost plan go through all the market cycles. That's what investment is supposed to do. You're supposed to have a plan that factors in bad things happening. And if you don't, you really need to get a new plan.
And there's really nothing sexy or exciting about this. So if you're a thrill seeker, you will be hardly bored by the strategies that we're telling you to use, but they really are in your best interest.
Right. And one of the biggest things is to ignore all of their forecasts, because in any field, there are many studies on this. Predictions about the future are rarely right by anybody. And pretty much in any fields you can find, they found that just having an average person make a prediction about what's going to happen in the future was just as good or even better than the so-called expert. Right. We're not conditioned. We don't have an ability to predict the future. So having someone call you up about investments because they think the market's going to go up or down in the short term is a losing strategy for you.
And that includes listening to family and friends that may think they're being helpful. And of course, failing to share their not so great success stories, because that's usually what people tend to do.
Yeah.
They talk about what worked and not what didn't work.
Very true.
And you may follow them over the cliff. So please don't do that.
Yeah. Because again, the average person thinks they're an above average driver, and the same thing with investing. They tend to not disclose all the disasters they might have been involved in and tell you maybe 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 100 of the successful investment. So yes, ignore that advice.
Okay, I think it's time for us to now take a look at what makes people sweat.
America, in a cold sweat.
Comparing yourself to others, neighbors, friends, and then trying to keep up, that is truly a losing strategy.
Yeah, I actually wrote something recently on my blog, maliceforall.com, and the title of it was Building Wealth, Stick to It and Ignore the Joneses. And it actually got picked up by Money Magazine, which was pretty good. But anyway, it talked about, one of the big things that people do that will distract them from the big picture is they try to keep up with their neighbors. And again, doing that, I really don't think you're going to have a high quality of life by putting a strategy like that in place. But more importantly, you're trying to keep up with somebody that's not you, does not have your goals, does not have your interests in at heart in what they're doing. And secondly, it might be all false, because the person that you're trying to keep up with might be just a big renter, right? All the stuff that they're buying might just be on credit cards. So it's a false sense of wealth anyway. So all in all, worrying about others' wealth is not a way for you to become wealthy.
There's a great quote by Warren Buffett: games are won by players who focus on the playing field, not by those whose eyes are glued to the scoreboard.
Right. I mean, and that sums it up pretty well. Focus on what you can do. Focus on what you can control. And more importantly, try to avoid something which is called lifestyle creep. And what that simply means is if you get a raise, you tend to say, okay, now I could spend more money and buy more toys. And you get another raise and the same thing happens. And before you know it, you're just like a big rat on a treadmill running in circles because you're making more, but you're spending more. And wealth is not being created. So if you could avoid that lifestyle creep and instead say to yourself, if I get a 10% raise, say I'll only spend 5% more or 3% more. Or 0% more at best, then you will accumulate wealth over time. But if you're making, $500,000 and you're spending $500,000, it really doesn't build anything.
Okay, now we're moving on to your homework assignment for this week.
And I've come so far. I'm baby stepping. I'm doing the work. I'm baby stepping. I'm not a slacker.
We want you to take a really good look. Where are you getting your advice from? Look at where their bias is. And most importantly, if you are working with a professional, ask them point blank, are you a fiduciary and are you strictly fee only? And how are you compensated?
Yeah, that is very important. And we've had clients come to us and they've posed the same question to their former advisor and they were given an answer that lasted a half an hour. And by the end of that answer, they still didn't know whether this person was a fiduciary or not.
Well, here's a tip.
Right.
If it takes that long to answer the question.
Right. They're not. It's kind of like being pregnant, right? You are pregnant or you're not pregnant. You can't be a little bit pregnant. So you can't be a little bit of a fiduciary. Even you, either you're acting in your client's best interests or you're not. And remember, transparency is the best thing. You know, sunlight is the best disinfectant.
We hope you're sticking to the habit of reading one financial article a day. Our website, atiinvestment.com, is a great place to start. Don't forget the resources tab there. There's blog and radio tab links for you to listen to replays of the show. Don't miss out on our blogs, maliceforall.com and realsmartica.com. Ask us a question by emailing us, Dina at ATIinvestment.com, or call us at 631-675-1420, and you can be featured on Financially Fit. Until next week, be well.
See you later. Maybe get a stone on your little finger.